much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. So here we are to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. The Word became flesh, and the light shined among us. Glory revealed. The living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's come. Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins. Our Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day that stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, oh, the death he had conquered. And now he's ascended, our Lord evermore. 'Cause death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. So living he loved, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Sing that again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong by the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. He is Lord, Lord of all.
weak made strong by the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Then He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. For this I stand before the throne, Christ alone. Cornerstone, weak made strong by the Savior's love. Through the storms, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, my chief cornerstone, weak made strong by Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, He's Lord of all.
Can you sing that chorus one more time?
Christ alone,
Him and nothing else.
Cornerstone.
He is the example.
Weak made strong.
Our strength in times
by the
of need.
Savior's love.
The only one that could have done it.
Through the storm, He is Lord. He's Lord of all.
Come what may, it's always Him. Amen. Seated in the presence of the Lord. Aren't you glad to have the answers to it all? Amen. Not in our knowledge or our comprehension, but in Christ, who holds it all together, who knows all things, who understands all things, whose ways are higher than our ways. Amen. I can tell you, if you've got your trust in Him, what hope there is. Amen. I want to preach this morning to you under the title, Being Strategic in Prayer. Being strategic in prayer. Prayer and praise go together. I preached a message last year called A Meeting Place with God. Praise invites the Lord's presence in to have fellowship with us. The Word says that He inhabits the praises of His people. And there in that fellowship, we can lay our hearts open to Him and recover comfort and wisdom so that the warfare of our life isn't chaos, but is placed into perspective so that we can fight the good fight with perseverance, not wasting our time in side battles that only exhaust us. In that message, I talked about Adam and Eve having a meeting place with God, where He expected to find them daily. Let me ask this question. Are you meeting God like He expects us to daily? Is He walking in your life, calling out to you like He did to Adam? Adam, where art thou? Now is the time to be at our posts. Now is the time for us to be the watchmen on the walls, not only for ourselves, but for our friends and family, and for every person God may put in our path. Satan is roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking out whom he may devour. He is putting together strategies against us to do us harm. Remember, he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Will you just pray with me this morning before I get started in our scripture? But Father, I just come to you today in full recognition, God, that we are helpless without you, Lord. We are lone soldiers trying to fight in a battle with no direction, with no understanding apart from you, God. And Father, we need you. We need your guidance. We need your understanding. We need your mind, Jesus, so that we can understand how to fight and when to fight and where to fight, Lord God. You give your people strategy, God, in the ways of warfare. And so I come to you today and acknowledge you, Jesus, and say, God, without you and your blood, we could not be saved. And without your spirit, God, we would be lost, saved people walking around not knowing what to do with ourselves. We'd be flailing about, God. Just trying to do all these things, exhausting ourselves in areas that don't matter. But God, you give us your spirit that allows us to have direction. It allows us to have guidance, Lord Jesus. And so I just come to you today, Lord God, that there's no greater commander in chief than you are, Lord. You lead and you guide us. You put us into position, Lord. You make all things as they are, that they might be played out the way that you will them to be done, Lord. And we rest in that. There's sovereignty in that, that we can just come to you today and trust that whatever you say, as a good soldier, we could follow those orders, God, and we can see power and miracles, Lord God, and change in these areas in our life. We'll get to see all in all your glory. So we look to you today in that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 24, I would like to read to you just a few verses here. And I want to characterize something for us today, something that maybe you didn't know, maybe you've not thought about this, but how many of you know that life is not just chaos? Life is not ants in an anthill that gets stepped on and you just run around crazy. Do you know that this morning? Maybe not. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you just think it is like that. My alarm goes off in the morning and I'm like a chicken with my head cut off, just roaming the yard. And maybe you feel that way. I want to bring clarity to that because your life isn't that. Your life is very strategic. It's strategically planned by God because he is omnipotent. He walks in and through time. He knows all that's going to happen, and he sets things up for us to walk in. That's why in his word it says that there are predestined and ordained works for us to walk into. He is setting our future up for us to walk into it. Amen? Which lets me know that things don't happen by chance with God. God is purposeful. God is meaningful in the things that he does. And if God is that way, I want to be understanding of that. I want to be maneuvered by God in order for my life to not make any sense. Does anybody here hate wasting time as much as I do? The dilly-dally, the round-the-bush conversations. I wish somebody would just come right out and say it. Anybody else in here? Just get there. Tell me the end of your story. If you have young children, you know exactly what that's like because it's every non-important detail that gets told in their story. And you're just like, get to the end. Get where we can figure out what we're talking about, you know? And I just want you to know, life can be that way apart from God. But in God, there's order. Amen? He brings order to our chaos. And he brings us into a single vision with him. And I just want to read this to you because I want to give you an example biblically of this. And this is Jesus being tested in the sense of the religious people of his day came and said, this person casts out devils by being a devil himself. And so Matthew 12, verse 24, it reads this. Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided itself against itself will not stand." I know you thought Abraham Lincoln said that, but Jesus trademarked it. "If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come to you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless the first binds the strong man? And when he will plunder his house, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." So Jesus gives us this description, this understanding that he's not fighting against himself. There is order. There is strategy. There are ranks. Any military people in here, can we just raise your hand if you've been in the military before? One, two, couple. Thank God for you. Thank you. Thank you for your service. A good army runs on what? Following orders, I'm sure. Sometimes. Some of you probably think that was not a good order. But your commander-in-chief's better than the generals that you've served under, I promise you. But it works on order. It works on having position and being able to accomplish and finishing the tasks that have been given to you so that the whole works together for the greater good. And God's kingdom is no different than that. But he's also letting us know that Satan's kingdom works very similar to that. Satan has order. He may come in and cause chaos, but he has order. He understands that the spiritual realm is in order. And so we have to understand, in order for us to overcome Satan and his demons and that spiritual warfare that we fight, we have to understand that we better be aligned with God in the fullness so that when Satan comes with his attacks, he's not finding us as a lone warrior. A lone soldier out there being rogue out on their own. That's not what God desires for us, not as Christians, not as a church, not as a community, not as a nation. He does not want us to be divided. That's why it was important on the first day of the new covenant, or the first day of the new church, the birth of the new church, I want you to be gathered together, and I want you to be in one mind and in one accord. And if you will gather, you'll be in unity with this thought towards me. I will bestow upon you my spirit, which will give you guidance, which will give you understanding. It's going to give you discernment, to be able to discern what is of me and what isn't of me. He was putting his church into order so that the church could be most effective in its mission. We understand what I'm talking about this morning. I don't want to leave anybody behind. God wants us to be effective. And I can tell you, apart from him and apart from his will, we are not effective or as effective as we could be or as we should be. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So God's desire when you were born again was not for you to be entered in voluntarily to this army, to this fighting force of God, just for you to be entangled with civilian life. Because if you're caught up in civilian life, you're not showing up for orders. You're not showing up to understand and grab a hold of what God is giving out to his people. That's why gathering the more as Christ approaches is more important. The more that the battle rages on, the more intense of the fighting, the more the soldiers, the collective group of fighters and warriors, need to be together and under one mind and under one accord. Do you agree with that? Because I can tell you, we don't need a force over here going this way, and a force over here going this way, and a force over here going these two ways that's dividing our forces apart where we're getting picked off all over the place. God wants us together. He wants us moving as a unit, unified in Him, unified in His mind, unified in His love, unified in His compassions, unified in His will, that whatever lays before the church of Jesus Christ that is devil-owned, it may be now occupied by those in the kingdom of God. And I can tell you, here's the example. Out of that 120, in one mind and one accord, full of the Holy Ghost, it says they left out of that room and turned the known world upside down. Hallelujah. That's what people of God can do when they're under the strategic ministry of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be vague here, but I promise you, it is simply this: not coming into prayer, not coming into church services with agendas. It's coming in with your whiteboards wiped clean, because you're not coming in to bring strategy. You're coming in to get strategy. You're coming in here for understanding and guidance. And I can tell you, folks, we go into our prayer life a lot with our agendas. God, I want you to fix this. Once you fix this, then I can go over here and do this. God, I want you to heal this. Because once I'm healed of this, I'll be able to go over here and do this. See what I'm saying? We've got our own strategies going in. God, I've got a list of things. When you answer them, then we'll get this ball rolling. But God's not concerned with our ailments. Now, don't get me wrong. God loves you, and He wants you to be healed and prosperous in all the different ways. I'm not talking about that. But God is not going to so focus on these things when the greater focus is what His perception is. You understand? We can only see little. Our perspective is so small in comparison to God. So when we come to Him with our perspective and we try to fit all this in to what we've doled it down to, and we try to force God to get into this place, we're handcuffing the power of God. We're putting His hands behind us and saying, you can't fight for me the way that you need to fight for me, because I want you to fight for me the way I want you to fight for me. So we can't come into church with these ideals or these thoughts or these strategies. This is how we're going to accomplish this. That's not what the early church did. When the early church came under opposition, the early church went into a prayer meeting. Does anybody remember 36 years ago how this church was born? When opposition came, when issues arose in whatever ministries were going on around here, there was a group of people that said, I don't know what God wants, I don't know what He wills, but I know that if we go to Him collectively and we lay ourselves before Him, He will give us vision, He will give us power, He will give us the ability, He'll give us the circumstance, He'll give us the finances, He'll give us all that we need, but we got to get to Him to know which direction to go. And when we go in that direction, there is nothing that will not be provided for us. That's the hope of praying. That's the hope of the promise that is in Christ, that when I go to Him and I lay myself bare before Him and I say, God, I don't know what You want. I don't know where You want me to go, but here's Your humble servant. Whatever Your will is, I want to do it. You can come out of a prayer meeting with the direction of God and go, God, I know that I don't have the resources to do what You've called me to do, but I know what Your word says, that You've predestined and You've ordained the works before me, and all I've got to do is walk. All I've got to do is listen. All I've got to do is believe, because when I get there with an empty hand, you'll fill it. When I get there with an empty belly, you'll fill it. When I get there with a need, you'll deal with it. If I need healing for me to go forward, you'll heal me. If I need deliverance before I can go forward, you'll deliver me. Hallelujah. It is the power and the strategy of God from heaven to his church that we come to him. Folks, it is necessary that we know that we cannot come to God so confused and so chaotic with all that we want from him and expect to walk out with anything other than the chaos that we've brought in. But if we can leave the world at the door and say, you know what, God, whatever it is you want from me, here I am. Send me. Here I am. It's up to you. Tell me the strategy. Tell me the plan. Give me an inkling. Give me peace in my spirit to do this if you would. That's the desire of God for his people. It's not for God's people to figure it out on their own. God's not saved you to leave you out here on an island to figure out what his will is. He's not done that to you. He's called you that you might know him. And that he might know you. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, a master tells his servants nothing. You don't need to know nothing. You don't need to know my plans. Do what I said. That's a servant. But he tells his friends all. He tells his friends, I'm not a slave. I'm not a servant. I'm a son. And folks, our Father knows what's before us. He knows what we need before we ask or think. He knows. But do we know that we need what we're asking? I don't know. I don't know if we know that or not. See, you say, well, God knows what I need. I don't need to go to him. He already knows what I need. Well, God ain't going to give you something you don't want. He ain't going to give it to you. You have not because you ask not. That's what it says. And I'm not saying you're going to get what you want every single time. I remember being a kid and praying for a four-wheeler every time I went to church. Never got one. He knows what you need. Amen? Didn't stop me from asking him, but he knows what I need. Don't let things stop you from asking him just because you've not gotten them. It's open communications for you to bring things before the Lord. And you'd be surprised when you come consistently to the Lord. He says that old judge, that unfaithful judge, that mischievous judge, that woman kept coming. And he said, I'm going to give her what she wants just so I can be rid of her. And if he said an unjust judge will do that for one of the children of Israel, how much more will God our Heavenly Father do for us? So I'm not saying don't ask. I'm saying ask. Ask the more. I'm telling you, you ever been going through a trial in your life and you just been like, Lord, I don't know what you want me to learn from this, but I wish you'd hurry up and reveal it because I don't want to deal with it no more. Anybody ever been there? A couple of us. Amen. I'm just like, Lord, whatever the lesson is, I'm ready for it. I don't have to go much deeper into where we're going to say, you know what, I need your help. But some of us are hard-headed. Some of us want to bear the weight of it. Some of us try to bear the weight of it. We try to muscle through thinking that it's our duty to do right, that God has entrusted us, so we need to be strong. That's not what the word says at all. The word says to yoke yourself with Christ. If any work's going to be done, it's going to be done with him. With him not yoked with us, I can tell you the cart's not moving. Amen? If he's not hooked with us, we ain't going nowhere. It's too heavy for us. And I can tell you a lot of times we say, Jesus, you take a break. I'll live this out. I'll work it out. I'll get through this. And you don't go to him and ask. He says, is there anyone that's heavy laden? Anyone burdened? Come to me. I'll give you rest. How do we come to him? How do we come to him? We come to him in prayer. We come to him humbly and saying, Lord, I need you. I'm desperate for you. And I want to ask these questions. These are the questions I ask God all the time. Lord, I'm facing some opposition here. Am I facing opposition because this door's closed and you don't want me to go through it? Or am I facing this opposition because the door's open and Satan doesn't want me to go through it? Because those two answers are going to make a big difference for me. Amen? If it's Satan, I'm going to stay the course. It's worth the burden. It's worth the craziness. It's worth the struggle. If God says that door's open, there's promise for you on the other side of it, but I need the confirmation of God to know this is a battle worth fighting. But if God says this door's closed, I can tell you, I'm not going to waste not one more little bit of energy banging on that door to get it open. Amen? Isn't that so simple? There's no Pony Express with God. You don't have to wait months and months for a response from Him. We have an intercessor, amen? We have a direct line to the Father. We can just go to Him. We can run to Him because of what Christ has done. And we can be present with Him. We can know Him. He can know us. He already does know us. But He can reveal to us how much He knows about us. Isn't that amazing? I know He knows me, but sometimes I still just need Him to do that thing that He does to show me that He knows me. Build my faith, Lord. Give me the encouragement. Give me the strength. I've got a few more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Starting in verse 10, we're going to go through 18. I gave your fingers a rest this time. If you were here last Sunday, you got that little joke. Verse 10 says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." I want to read just briefly Matthew Henry's commentary on this because I just think that it's profound. These are just a few snippets from it. It says, "Here is a general exhortation to constancy in our Christian course, and to encourage in our Christian warfare. Is not our life a warfare? It is so, for we struggle with the common calamities of human life. Is not our religion much more a warfare? It is so, for we struggle with the opposition of the powers of darkness and with many enemies who would keep us from God and heaven. We have enemies to fight against, a captain to fight for, a banner to fight under, and certain rules of war by which we are to govern ourselves. We must be well armed, put on the whole armor of God, make use of all the proper defensives and weapons for repelling the temptations and stratagems of Satan. Get and exercise all of the Christian graces, the whole armor, that no part be naked and exposed to the enemy. Observe, those who would approve themselves to have true grace must aim at all grace, the whole armor. It is called the armor of God because He both prepares and bestows it. We have no armor of our own that will be armor of proof in any trying time. Nothing will stand us instead but the armor of God. The reason assigned why the Christian should be completely armed is that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. that he may be able to hold out and to overcome, notwithstanding all the devil's assaults, but of force and fraud, all the deceits he puts upon us, all the snares he lays before us, and all his machinations against us, all his schemes. Lastly, we must pray, as Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We must pray with all prayer. Listen here. We must pray with all prayer and supplication, with all kinds of prayer, public prayer, private prayer, secret, social, solitary, solemn and sudden, with all the parts of prayer, confession of sin, petition for mercy, and thanksgivings for favors received. We must pray in the Spirit. Our spirits must be employed in the duty, and we must do it by the grace of God's good Spirit. But God knows everything, Pastor. Remember I said that? Yeah, that's the answer. But God knows everything. Why must I pray always if he knows what I need before I ask? It goes back to pride. It goes back to pride. Does God know you want his help, his blessing, his protection? We are proud creatures who often want to work things out on our own. But I tell you today, a single soldier cannot fight an army. And know this, that the devil and his angels are a well-organized force, with its sole purpose being the destruction of every soul in life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. It's time to pray. It's time to be close to the Lord, because the warfare of our souls, the warfare of the world, all of history's wars, is about to dwindle down to the greatest war there's ever been. It's right before the rapture of the church. And folks, it is necessary for us to know the mind and the will and the heart of God in this season. For ourselves, for our spouses, for our children. You know what I think is amazing? Is that we are praying today for people that don't know us. They have no idea that we're praying for them. One day, when they accept Christ, because we've been praying for them, we're going to be in heaven one day and it's going to be made known to them. Man, there were people praying for me. There were people being, listen, the devil wants to count them out. He wants to single them out. But you know what? We're an able-bodied army. We're sending resources out to them, lifelines to them. We're sending out, what is it, not Blackhawks, what is those, the ones in Vietnam they used? Hueys? To go bring them back, to retrieve them. Amen. That's what we're doing. Everything we do is strategic in our walk of faith. Every word that we pray needs to be strategic. I don't want to waste words on God. We said today, don't beat around the bush, just tell me. God's tired of us beating around the bush. Let's just get real with God. And let's just tell him what we mean to say. I don't want to waste time on ministries and efforts and traditions that are not helping the kingdom of God. I want God to be strategic in me. I want God to be strategic in us. And I can tell you, it only comes from one place, and that's being in his presence. That's knowing him. Well, I don't know what God wants from me. I can tell you the easy way to find out. Pray. Come and pray. God, what do you want for my life? And you know what the best part is? It's not a one-for-all answer. Because I come to him every day and I go, God, I know what you wanted me to do yesterday, and I pray that I did well. But today's a new day, and I have no idea what's in front of me. Brother Dick shared what he shared this morning about cancer. He didn't know that was in his future. Just like many of the responses that we've gotten for our prayer requests, we didn't know those were in our future, but I can tell you, God knows. God knows what lies ahead of us. God knows the difficulties that we're going to face, and he doesn't want us to face them, number one, alone. But he doesn't want us to face them unprepared either. And so the Spirit of God comes, not just as a comforter, not just as one that brings peace, but one that provides the resources to endure, to overcome, the power to see miracles, signs and wonders. We don't know what each event is going to produce. We just trust God that whatever does come out of it is going to glorify him. Amen. That's all we know, because he's sovereign. And even if whatever this is unto death, and we pray that it's not, we pray that this struggle isn't unto our demise, but even if it is, it's worth dealing with it. It's worth going through it, because we know this end is not my end. I have hope beyond this issue, that if I have to struggle for a little while so that someone might know of his goodness, here I am, Lord. Remember Paul? On his road to Damascus, God came to Ananias. I'm going to send you somebody. You're going to lay hands on him. Scales are going to fall off of his eyes. But first, I'm going to tell him everything he must suffer for my name's sake. You know what the Spirit of God does? He comes and he lets you know. There's something coming down the road. You know, my wife will look at me sometimes and she'll go, I don't know what's about to happen, but something's about to happen. I can just feel it. I just feel like something's about, not necessarily always bad things, but just things come up, issues, sickness, things like that. I believe that's a witness of the Holy Spirit in her life, letting her know, now is the time to pray. I don't want to be in the last minute prayer. I don't want to be on defensive prayer. I want to be on offensive prayer. Amen? I want to take back things that the enemy has stole from our lives. And I can tell you, it's not sitting back, waiting for them to happen, and then going to God and figuring out what we need to do. It's not that it's too late. It's not too late. But I can tell you, I don't like playing catch up. I want to be ahead of it. And we can be. Prayer. Today, I want us, can we just stand? This is me closing, by the way. I'm sorry. You guys were buckling in for second wind or something. I don't know. There are some things we need to pray for this morning. Brother Dick has asked that he comes forward and we anoint him and lay hands on him. And that's what the Bible says. Is there any sick among you? Come forward. Anoint them with oil. The elders come around, lay hands on them and pray for them that they might recover. There's strategy to prayer. That there is necessary things of prayer. And so we as a people, I can tell you, we can't be anything else for God if we're not a praying people for God. Do you want to know the first evidence of the New Covenant Church was? The Spirit of God fell upon them and they began to speak. You know what the first thing that a believer, the evidence of a new believer is? Prayer. That's the first evidence of a new believer. And I'm not talking about in tongues. I'm just talking about a language in your heart that you didn't have connection with God before. But now you do. Now you can talk to him and he can talk to you. It's the evidence that I've been born again, because I have now an opportunity to know God and him to know me. Isn't that amazing? And so when you got saved, a line was open to you. And so we as a people of God, he knew that's what we needed first. He knew we needed his guidance. And so I want to offer this altar time to come and to pray. First, I want the sick to come. if there's any sick among us, can we just come down here so we can anoint each other and pray? And that's the common cold. That's cancer. That's whatever. If you need God to heal it, come down. Let's lay hands on you and pray for you. You want to grab another chair, Pastor Pedro, for our dear sister here? Anyone else just need healing right now? Now I want to invite the church to come, and we get to lay hands on. We get to come around unified in the mindset and the heart set of God and say, here are people in need just like us, God, and I want you to touch them, their minds, their bodies, their souls. I want you to touch them. And then after we're done praying for that, I just want to take just a congregational moment of just giving the Lord a blessing, asking God for whatever your need is. But let's just end today with prayer. Amen.